Let's start with Captain Max Hardberger, the author of Seized, who has written many stories that will keep you on the edge of your seat, too, very much like House to House coming up next hour. Good evening, Captain Max.
Good evening.
Okay, we have a Captain Kelly Sweeney who graces the show from time to time. He also writes stories of the high seas, but I don't know that I can think of any of the adventures that Captain Kelly has had that that approach yours, especially like the story about you fighting off the Russian mob. That was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, it was better to write about it than to experience it.
Yes, I imagine so. Wouldn't it be nice if, well, let me just say, let me stop for a second and verify that everything that's in this book, Seized, all about your life as a captain who goes back in and takes ships back that have been pirated or ships that have found themselves in foreign ports or ships that have to be returned to the rightful owners. Everything you write in the book is true?
Yeah, it is. As I said in the foreword, I mix some stories up and I chop some things out and so on, but essentially, everything is true. Sometimes I've taken more than one story and melded them together, but it's all true.
Okay. So the reason why I'm asking is because, I mean, this is like you could make a TV series out of this. I mean, every chapter has a great story, and it's like, wow, all of this happened to one guy?
Well, yeah, to me and my crews and other people, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, talk about your specialty here, because, you know, we hear about piracy, and I guess I never really thought that there would be specific people that would be called upon. Oh, I mean, not quite like a Mission Impossible task force, but there's an element to that in this where you have to be thinking, you know, you just don't fly into a city, get on a ship and crank the key and take off. You've had to pull some fast ones on some people who would have been more than happy to leave you floating upside down in a harbor.
Well, I mean, you're talking about an asset that's worth between, at least $1 million or so and up to $15, $20 million. And so nobody who's trying to steal an asset of that value is going to leave it unguarded. So I've got to do something to either trick the guards that are on board, or if it's a hostile crew, I can sometimes suborn the crew or trick them off. And but in any case, I've got to deal with the people who are watching the ship and trying to prevent someone like me from getting it.
You know, again, like I said, we have a frequent guest, Captain Kelly Sweeney, who tells us stories a little bit about what it's like for him out on the ocean. But I don't ever remember Captain Kelly at any time employing prostitutes to get a ship out of a harbor.
Well, let's make clear that employing them to get the ship out of the harbor.
Right. But, so I mean, you had to do that to distract the crew that was there, you know, to keep you from getting that ship, you know, back to its rightful owner.
Well, you know, prostitution is unlike in the United States, it's pretty common and accepted and legal in these third world countries. And, guys on board a ship are they're amenable to the advances of attractive women just like anybody. And so... And, of course, a prostitute, she gets hired normally to do things,
sure.
So it's pretty straightforward to hire one to go on board. And also, prostitutes normally make pretty good actresses, so they're useful to have in these third-world ports.
Well, it makes such an interesting story. Again, we're talking with Captain Max Hardberger, the author of Seized. Who hires you? How do you get hired to retrieve a ship, to go into some other country, some harbor somewhere, and get a ship out? Who's the one who contacts you? Who's your agent for that?
Well, I normally get contacted by either the owner or the mortgagee. If it's a case of an illegitimate seizure for, say, a trumped-up cargo claim, it would be the owner. And if it's a case where the ship has money owed on it and the owner is not paying his mortgage, then it's just like any repo man. It's a standard repossession.
How many people do what you do?
Well, there are some good companies that do yacht repossession and aircraft repossessions. I suspect that there are not very many people who do ship, and I'm the only one that I know who does ship repossessions, although there may be others who do it occasionally.
Yeah, okay, but I'm asking that question again to explore that. You are the only guy who pretty much does this for a living.
As far as I know, as far as ships, concerning ships, right?
Yeah, large ships, not just like getting some sailboat back or
exactly.
Like, you know, taking some yacht back from some, you know, guy with in deck shoes and shorts. You're talking about you're taking these ships back from guys standing around with machine guns sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're the only guy on the planet doing that. It's a small convention, isn't it?
We don't have club jackets.
Yeah. So it's really, I mean, that would be a newsletter that would be hard to find other people that would take your newsletter.
That's
part of what makes this book so interesting. So chapter by chapter, different stories of what Captain Max has had to do to get these ships back. You've led an interesting, adventurous life. Before we get into some of these stories, and I want to explore a couple of them in detail in just a minute. But before we do, explain some of the other things you've done in your life. You're qualified to do more than this.
Well, you know the old saying, the jack of all trades and master of none. But I've done a bunch of different things. I actually started as an English teacher, and I guess that may not have been quite so either challenging or active, and so I worked in the oil field as a mud engineer and worked in Guatemala, actually during the Civil War in Guatemala, as a mud engineer. Did quite a bit of flying, different kinds of flying, all small plane-type flying, crop dusting and check runs and flight instruction. I even used to fly bodies around for a mortuary service. So after I kind of got tired of flying, which was around the mid-80s, I had a captain's license and from the U.S. oil field, and I decided to go into ships and go into freighters, so I drove down to Miami and got a job as a captain of a small freighter in the Haitian trade.
Well, that's a good time then to hold the story from that point, because Captain Max ends up then getting into this very unique field of freighter repossession, large cargo ship repo man. And I want him to just, of the many stories in the book, I'd love to have him tell just a couple of them coming up next. And then maybe sometime in the future, we can have Captain Max back on again. The book is called Seized. And can I just make the point that I think Coast to Coast, guest for guest, has more sea captains on than any other radio show in America? I think we are densely populated with sea captains. In this case, this is the story of a sea captain's adventures battling scoundrels and pirates while recovering stolen ships in the world's most troubled waters. And some amazing adventures they are coming up next. And we'll start with pirates coming up on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So, Captain Max Hardberger, Seized. We've talked about pirates many times on this show on Coast to Coast. I dare say we were kind of talking about pirates before they came back in the news in some of these amazing stories. And we've been wondering whatever happened to them and talking about it. And you've been dealing with them, too, a lot longer than before they started to make headlines off the coast of Somalia. Talk about how much of the work you have to do it centers around the nefarious activities of pirates.
Well, I don't deal with the kind of pirates that we are classically talking about as Somali armed boarders of ships. The pirates I normally deal with are probably certainly more sophisticated and more successful than Somali pirates. The pirates I deal with generally work behind the scenes, corrupting courts and bribing judges and stealing ships the clever way rather than using the outlaw force to do it. So it's a different kind of piracy.
Right. And you're not on the front end where the ships are being taken. But just what you're talking about right there is something which we don't hear a lot about in the news, and that's the ways in which a ship could be rerouted, a cargo could be taken. Things can be done just, you know, through sort of white-collar piracy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, in fact, that's the most effective way to do it. Why take any chances when all you've got to do is, for example, a typical scheme would be to send the ship to a port where you've already suborned the judge. The ship doesn't know that you've done that. So, and the ship, of course, is always looking for cargo. So the ship has no reason not to carry the cargo to that port. Then the next thing you know, the ship owner finds his ship has been seized and sold at a corrupt auction, and he's completely out of luck.
Right. And that's really – there's a lot of this going on around the world today. You mentioned a corrupt auction, and I'm reminded of the story of when you went to go retrieve a ship in Russia, or was it Bulgaria or was it Russia? Oh, you know, I guess it was Russia. And you went there and you found that the ship, after the word got out that an American captain was there to pay cash money for a ship, that's suddenly when the Russian mob stepped into it.
Right. They, of course, I don't know all the background, but clearly something bad was going on when they murdered the guy who was going to sell the ships to us. It was actually about a dozen ships, scrap ships for a Chinese client. And when they found out, apparently, that when they found out there was a buyer in town, they decided to take ownership themselves. And then my fear, of course, was that they were going to kidnap me and then torture me to force, you know, to call my client and convince my client to bring a bunch of cash to Vladivostok, and I'm sure neither he nor I would ever be heard of again.
Yeah, you got out of there in the nick of time. I mean, it's a very interesting story. It's part of Seized. We're talking with Captain Max Hardberger. I don't want to give away the rest of the story, but it was obviously you weren't tortured and killed or you wouldn't be here tonight, but it's really how you put it together and all the things that were happening and that guy you had hired to be your translator and whatever. Very interesting. But let's talk about, you mentioned that this is typical for what you do as a repo man of the high seas, is that you would go into a port and you might take those 12 ships out of Russia and get a price for them and then take them all the way to China. How are you going to take 12 ships all the way to China?
Oh, well, these were derelict ships. They would have to be towed. But but from Vladivostok to China is only a two-day trip, even under tow. So it really was not a big challenge in itself.
But you would have to, you chain them all together and then take them all in like a giant freight train?
No, you would need to do it one tug, one tow would be the most prudent thing.
Okay, so you would have been over a 3-week period going back and forth, grabbing a ship, towing it, going back, grabbing a ship, towing it.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I personally wouldn't have done that. My client would have arranged that. On that particular job, I just went to Vladivostok to make the arrangements.
Okay. So then as you go into these ports, as you go into these cities, and you make either the arrangements either for somebody else or for you to do this, what are some of the things that you have to be mindful of in today's modern shipping in order to be an effective repo man of the high seas?
Well, the first thing you have to do is, find out exactly what's going on the most important thing to me, and now that I have a company, Vessel Extractions LLC, with my partner, Michael Bono, we make very certain that our client has an immediate possessory right to the vessel, or we just won't get involved. Once we determine that and we decide that we should go forward, the first thing to do is to find out the situation on the ground, and the only way to do that is for me to actually physically go to the port where the ship's been seized and conduct intelligence.
And so talk about it. What do you mean by intelligence?
Well, I have to find out who's watching the ship, who's on board, whether there are any guards on board, whether there's any crew on board, if there's a crew on board, whether they're hostile or friendly. I have to find out if the ship has been sabotaged. A lot of times these thieves they figure that somebody like me might come along to try to get it back, and so they will take something critical out of the engine room or otherwise sabotage the ship. I have to find out who may be watching the ship from the shore, who can see the ship. If the situation is particularly dicey, I may have to use the weather or wait till the dark of night, wait till there's a moonless night to take the ship out. Once I've done that, once I've done my intelligence and I find out the situation, then I have to bring my crew in, and of course we have to come in surreptitiously, and I put them in different hotel rooms and keep a low profile, and then we have to get on board the ship without being seen. You gotta either get the engine started or get a tugboat to come up and get it, and then take her out to international water.
And how do you determine whether or not a ship has been sabotaged? You have to get into the engine room, don't you, in order to be able to do that?
That's right, and that's one of the trickiest part of this job, because when you do that, you have to do it without being seen, without anybody knowing you're doing it, and so you have to feel your way around the engine room. And I have to say that I personally am not qualified. When I have to do an engine room inspection like that, then I will bring a chief engineer with me. An engine room is just too complex for somebody, a deck man like myself, to know what he's doing down there.
Yeah, I can't imagine. The ship. Are you okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bless you. Was that a sneeze?
Or
did you? Okay, it sounded violent. I was afraid somebody whacked you.
No, not this time.
Okay. And I wasn't laughing when I said whacked you. Like, that would have been funny. It just sounded loud. But as you go in and you look at these giant engines, I mean, these things are huge, obviously. These are many times very complex engines. I would just think, wouldn't it just be easier always to just get a tug, throw a rope on it, and just start towing, and just do it that way?
Well, there are several considerations. One is that, of course, a tug and tow is much slower than a ship under its own power. Also, the tug may attract attention coming in to get the ship, so that sometimes it's better for the ship just to go out by itself. It's a lot easier to pretend that the ship is going out normally. Let's say, for example, that it has a clearance, because it would be a little bit unusual for a ship to be towed out. So
right.
There are a number of considerations. I've done it both ways.
We're talking with Captain Max Hardberger, author of Seized. He's essentially a repo man for giant freighter ships and for big cargo vessels. Has anybody that you know of that does what you did or did what you did in the past, has anybody been killed doing what you do?
Well, I would imagine in throughout history somebody probably has. I don't know of it.
But there's no legend.
One guy who's been caught, and he spent some time in a Colombian jail.
And he was caught doing what?
Trying to steal a ship out of San Andres, Colombia. It was actually his own ship that had been stolen from him, and he was trying to steal it back.
Why would he have to go to jail for that?
Well, because the Colombian government wanted his ship, and they had, when they caught him trying to get it back, he had to go to jail, not because he had done anything wrong, but because he had violated the will of the Colombian government.
Did he eventually get out of jail and get his ship back?
Never got his ship back. He did eventually get a compassionate release and was sent home to Scotland.
And what's the closest you've come in the many stories of, and I haven't read all of them yet in the book Seized, what's the closest you've come to not making it back?
Well, there have been a few of them. Perhaps the Patrick M, the time that I was trying to get the Patrick M out, we couldn't get the engine started. And
What was the Patrick M? Where was the Patrick M that you were trying to retrieve it?
It was in Puerto Cabello, Venezuela. And it had been the same scam that I mentioned. It had been sent to that port by a corrupt charterer who knew he could steal the ship in that port.
And so you go down to get it back, and what happens?
Well, I did research on the ground. We had a friendly agent. The agent is the local man who handles ship's affairs, and the agent was a good guy, and he had a friend who was a pilot. The pilot is the man who brings ships in and out of the port, and the pilots in Puerto Cabello control ship traffic. So his friend, the pilot, had agreed that he would give us a signal when he was by himself in the pilot office, and then we would steam out with all of our lights burning shortly after midnight, and no one would know that we were going out without a clearance. So once we had all that in place, and actually I had not planned to take the ship out. I had planned to have the captain take it out, but when the captain lost his nerve and somebody else had to do it, then I was forced to volunteer to do it.
Of the things that you mentioned that you had done prior to becoming a high seas repo man, you'd mentioned a high school English teacher, a writer, somebody who worked in Guatemala, in the mud fields. But you didn't mention lawyer. You had been a lawyer for a while?
No, I came to the bar late in life. I didn't start law school till the early 90s, and I didn't graduate from law school till 98.
Okay.
I was admitted to the California bar in 98.
Okay, but so how is it then that you didn't just, like, you know, decide at that point, I'm never going to take another ship again? Was that the end of your shipping days?
Oh, not at all. As a matter of fact, most of my studying was done on board ships or in hellhole foreign ports.
Be a lawyer and be done with it?
No, I never intended to leave the sea. Being a maritime attorney was a natural adjunct to being in shipping.
Have you ever had an opportunity to use your lawyering skills on the high seas?
Oh, sure. I do it all the time. It's part of the way I make my living. So,
but explain how that works then.
Well, as far as extractions go, this is separate from the legal business, but as far as extractions go, it's very helpful that Michael Bono and I are both lawyers, and we're able to determine on our own whether our client has a right to the ship. And that kind of knowledge has saved us from acting on the side of a bad guy who's trying to avoid paying a legitimate debt.
We're talking with Captain Max Hardberger, who also happens to be an attorney, as well as other cool stuff. And his book, Seized, chronicles all the different adventures that he's had taking these ships back. When I talked to Captain Kelly Sweeney, a friend who's been on the show many times, he talks about how things have changed during the course of his life as a captain, and that they're now, you know, for example, they're finally allowing certain, ships to be armed and to be able to have limited number of arms to fight off pirates. Have you, in repoing, is it repoing like you would have it done, you know, as somebody taking a car out of a driveway? I mean, are you allowed to carry weapons or do other things that maybe, you know, a captain bringing a cargo into a port is unable to do?
No, we never carry weapons. It's not legal anyway in these third world ports. Everybody else has got weapons, but foreigners can't carry them. So I and my crew never carry weapons. Plus the fact that the people who oppose us, the crewmen, for example, or the guards who oppose us, are just doing their job. They have no personal interest, and we have no argument with them. So it would be morally wrong for me to cause any harm to a man who's just doing his job.
Unless he's firing at you.
No, even then. He's still just doing his job, even if firing at me. If I get fired at, I have to just raise my hands and surrender.
Okay. That would be the legal response pursuant to that country's laws. But if somebody has taken a ship or you're just being able to get a ship out of a harbor, and you find somebody that's still on a ship who pulls a gun on you, are you saying you would turn around and bring that ship back and settle it that way?
The answer is yes. If the only alternative would be that I would commit violence to one who is only doing his job, then I have only one choice, and that is to surrender and let him take the ship back.
Wow. This stands in stark contrast with our guest coming up next hour, and we'll talk more about that coming up when we get into the book House to House on the way. So as you look, you know, out onto the high seas, as you think about your job as a sea captain / repo man, going into these exotic locales and bringing people back or bringing ships back, what are the characteristics of a seized ship? What are the Toyota Camrys are the most ripped off car because, you know, it was for a long time because it was a very, you know, all the parts were interchangeable. And if you had one, you could strip one down. What are typical, is there anything that's consistent about the type of ships that you have to go back in and recover?
No, really, there's not, because it's merely the fact that the ship is a valuable asset. So it could be a general break bulk cargo ship. It could be a roll-on, roll-off ship. It could be a tanker. I've repoed or extracted just about all of those kinds of ships. So really, we don't have a standard type or design like a Toyota Camry. All ships are unique, and it really depends on the ship's situation rather than its type.
But it's not a matter of that it's transporting oil, or that they're the people out there that are grabbing these ships know to look for the ones that have the most valuable cargo.
No, really not, because they don't normally get the cargo. When they seize a ship like that, generally the cargo gets released to the receiver, whoever it is who is buying the cargo, and they're just after the ship itself.
So that after the ship is unloaded, then the name is suddenly spray-painted over on the side of the ship or something like that, and they take it away?
No, they don't have to. That's the horror of this. Once a ship gets sold at a judicial sale, no matter how corrupt that sale is, the ship belongs to the buyer from the judicial sale, even if it's proven to be a corrupt sale. So that's why when I have to act, I have to do it before the sale goes down. Once the sale goes down, I can't act because the ship belongs to somebody else.
And do they not then routinely immediately change the name of the ship?
Yes, but you do that anyway, whether it's improper or not. You always change the name of a ship when you buy it in commercial shipping.
Okay, but I mean before they, in order to camouflage it, do they ever change the name of the ship before the sale just to try to keep it away from a guy like you?
No, they don't need to do that. All they need to do is put guards on or sabotage the ship. But since they're in a jurisdiction that's friendly to them, then they don't have anything really to hide. And once the ship gets sold to them, then it doesn't matter what its original name was.
There you go. It's Captain Max Hardberger. The book is Seized, Battling Scoundrels and Pirates While Recovering Stolen Ships in the World's Most Troubled Waters. Very interesting adventures. Look forward to finishing the rest of the book, and good luck with you out there. Feel free, by the way, you know, if you're in the middle of one of these great adventures, call us. We'd love to talk about it while it's going on. And next time, before you get the sequel of the book out sometime. Captain Max, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great night.